you know, but we're doing this thing as a team. I've got a young team and so forth, as we did back in 98. And at the end of the day, it's 18 holes of match play. You know, we've seen what can happen.
Ernie Els there, the captain of the international team for the President's Cup, talking about that team in 98. That was a very young team, and that's what he's got on his hands this time around as well, as they get ready to tackle the US tomorrow at Royal Melbourne. Stuart Appleby was a part of that team in 98. He knows exactly what it's all about dealing with a young team in this sort of situation. He's been good enough to join us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Breakfast Club. How are you?
We are very well, thank you. When you hear Ernie talk about 98 and that team, what memories flood back into your mind?
I was a lot younger back then. I remember that. I saw a couple of photos, and it just makes you wonder where time goes. It was an amazing week. It was a real finish to the year. And, you know, I guess the Cup was still very new. The President's Cup, you know, it was 94 was the first year. So there was little did we know what was going to eventuate after 98. But that was really special. We had some interesting weather that made a difference. I think on the international team had more experience in those hot, dry northerlies, which unfortunately we won't see this week, but that played a critical role. And then become Sunday, we had a typical day, much like right now, just slightly warmer, cloudy, and the storm had come through, and pretty much the Cup was over in you know, the early parts of Sunday. But it was so much fun, and the relationships that I struck up, more than really the winning. The winning was cool, and the trophy, and the whole lot, and the photos, and you look back, but you know, the relationships and stories that you get to develop in what typically isn't a team sport was unbelievable.
That team was interesting. It had four Aussies and two Kiwis, so six from the region that had probably played a fair bit of golf on the sandbelt in similar conditions. This one's a bit different. Does it make it a bit harder?
Yeah, it does. It feels like that. You know, I'm sure the world ranking of the players, well, I'm not sure. I'm not going to act like I'm a Bruce McAvaney stat man. I'd say that, you know, they should be in theory stronger, but just everything's got stronger. I mean, it's just been a massive change in golf. The young breed, the sort of the Rob Allenbys and Adam Scotts and Aaron Baddeleys, and certainly going back to, they were teenagers out there doing things, but it just seems to be a thick layer of barely 20-somethings that just can play at a level that wasn't around 30 years ago. And that may be the equipment that these kids grew up with, but, you know, they're downloading experience after experience. And we had, obviously, a Junior President's Cup only days ago, and that I got to witness some really great young men, but I got to witness some phenomenal golf, and it was great to be, I guess, a guy sort of outside the ropes coming in. And Ernie's got a huge task on his hand, and how do you control or potentially get a team across the line with what is resilient winners in the President Cup format for the Americans? They just seem to do it so easy, but Ryder Cup is a struggle for them.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. You look at the US team, they come over here to Melbourne. Not many of them have hit the course before. What sort of advantage will that be for the internationals and the Australians within that?
Well, look, the Australians have some experience, but when you're that good, when you've got world rankings and you've had sustained world rankings, and or if you're Tiger Woods, and you're just that good. You will work it out. And the one thing, like I mentioned earlier, that probably was a benefit for us was that hot northerly that just no one had seen in the practice rounds. We're going to have really quiet, as any Melbourne will know, a really quiet summer this year. It's been quite cool. Mm. So the course is not going to be brutal. And I said to the boys the other day, that before the last match, we were way, way down. I said, listen, tomorrow you're going to play your guy, but I want you to focus on the golf course. It's going to be an animal. It's going to be bigger than any opponent, and maybe a couple of holes you'll have to watch what you're doing with the opponent, but the course will be dominant. This week, I think the course is just going to have its teeth taken out of it. Unless you get those cold and 40, 50k an hour southwesters, it's just not going to have the edge. The northerly is the brutal thing that could upset. But it's amazing in team sport, you see it, whatever it is, when there's momentum. And there's this weird thing that I've seen, that you get momentum in matches that are hundreds of yards apart, and it can travel. We will need something pretty special this week to take it out. But I mean, this is what sport's all about. This is why we follow it. You never know what's going to happen.
And Stuart, you spoke about the Junior President Cup that was just held last week, I think it was. You're the captain of that. What sort of influence do you have, and what influence can Ernie Els have across this group?
Well, that is, that's all we wonder as a captain. you know, whatever team sport it might be, what can the captain influence, can he make that actually, and you don't know how to measure yourself, whether you actually are making, you can hand on ideas, you can hand on concepts. Like I said, look, this is how to look at tomorrow. We've got a Hail Mary, we've got to do this, and I want you to focus on that. And you still got to hand over, have form that week. You've still got to be considered, you know, you're playing well, and, you know, and that's out of my control, and that's what's really difficult. So how does Ernie, can you motivate them? You know, struggle with sometimes language barriers and cultural barriers and personalities, and it wasn't, and the thing that we lost, what I was told that the previous cup was, just the team as a juniors just didn't quite, they weren't all together connected, and this week we worked on that. And seeing that they came from behind out of nowhere, they were really down and out, and then we almost won on the Monday, the final day this week, they walked away connected closer, and you could just see that energy, like, dude, we nearly did it. And that was probably the ultimate high for me, was that I saw these guys taste almost success instead of just walking away and going, we got a whooping. And, you know, we've lost a lot of President's Cups, but I've got to tell you, you know, I've never lost and actually felt good. But in a team atmosphere, losing can be good. Losing as a single person, it can be awful. But we've done well over the years in being, unfortunately, good losers. And I just hope Ernie can find a way. There's no guy more experienced than him to run a team right now who's relevant in the sense that he's a, you know, almost a player on the team, much like Tiger is, but highly respected and has all the experience in the world to say the right thing at the right time to these young players.
Stuart, you've obviously played in the President's Cup, as we mentioned. You've played with most of these guys that are going to be out at Royal Melbourne over the next few days. But what do you look forward to when you're watching it? What things that sort of tickle your fancy?
I don't know. I look at the finer things, maybe. Sometimes the body language. Sometimes it'll be really down to the coverage too, you know, in how it's presented and what camera angles show, let's say, late in the day. You know, what are we looking at? Is this four or five matches done? Who are they following? Which is a critical match? I think that's the first part of the day, you know, as a viewer, we're watching, is there any momentum? You know, can you, like I said, you can sort of create momentum, but you seem to see it near the end of the rounds. Like the other day, in the juniors, the first day, we had something near the end of the day, but then we had a whole pile of matches go the other way. And America all of a sudden has a massive lead. So in 1 hour, you can go from, you know, one up with three to go to all of a sudden you've lost a match. So momentum swing and what's the overall vibe? The Americans are very rah-rah, as you know, and we're more reserved. So you're going to see that rah-rah American thing a lot. You're going to hear them in the crowd. But can the Aussies really dial in their fanatics and really push our boys, everybody, the internationals, to something special? And where's the breakout player going to be? That's the things I love to see. That you just never know what's going to happen because there's so little experience. Or do you rely on Adam Scott and the experienced players to dominate their matches? But that's not always the case either.
The great thing about it is also that it's match play, it's not stroke play, so it's different and it's team golf as well. What were some of the things that you thought you were good at when it came to match play through the President's Cup, even through pennant golf back in the day, that made you good at that sport? Because we always know you as being a real resilient player, a scrapper, a fighter. Does that help? Or I'd imagine it helps in this sort of format.
Yeah, look, I was a decent match player, probably pretty good. But then when I come to the pro ranks, I wasn't as good. I just never seemed to be able to have a record that I would say, yeah, that's pretty good. You know, not from an egotistical point of view, but, you know, I find my psychology... I loved team sport when I played footy at home and played cricket. I loved all that. But golf was very different. And I found a great deal of solitude in being a single player, playing my thing, sort of my problems. You know, if I hit it bad, I go work on it. And like that, it's team sport and golf. And I said to the boys this week, I said, look, the alternate shot format is a brutal format. You can go three or four holes and not really made a putt. Your putting's not really that good. Now all of a sudden you've got to make a six-footer that's important. It's probably one of the most torturous formats to play. And one where we've struggled internationally, the Americans have got dominance over us. So resilience, you're right. I said to the kids, I don't really care how great your coach is. I don't really care on so many other things, but I need you guys, if you want to play this sport or anything, whether it's business, you need to be really resilient because you're going to spend 99% of your time really average to ordinary at what you do, but the 1% may be at the time at the President's Cup, or it might be to win a club championship or to win a state amateur or whatever it is. And right now we've got massive crowds are going to turn up and you're going to see potentially one of those 1% moments that these guys really ultimately built towards.
You talk about that, the 1% time and the crowd that's going to be there watching. How much do you think that they'll give to Patrick Reid?
Oh, well, I think you guys have got maybe you could have a couple of dozen minutes on that every day this week and see where you're at. I think it's a good measuring stick, a yardstick. I don't know if the Fanatics are going to be out there, but I'm sure they've already been pumping out their rehearsal. and I hope we get to see online the actual lyrics. Look, it's not a great time for Patrick to have this sort of right there. And this is the modern times. There's cameras, TV, there's all sorts of media that captures this stuff. So it's a tough one. I wouldn't want to be in his situation. And we'll see where it leads from a crowd perspective this week.
Hey, we go up to Kahuna, our radio show, our radio station here at RSN. Do you get to go up there much anymore?
Not much. I mean, I was just up there recently, so obviously you have to be down for the Junior President's Cup and this week with Channel 9 out on the course and so on, which I'm really looking forward to actually being, I guess you could say media, which is a strange hat to put on. But I don't get up there much, and I do, and I love it. I certainly, one thing I do not miss about Australia is the flies, and certainly north.
Yes.
I not miss them. But as a lot of courses up there, you know, lack of water, and it makes it pretty tough. But we have a pro-am we did a few months ago up there, and we pulled it off again, and it's one of the favourite stops of the pros to get out there. I'm very proud that a one-man team, one greenkeeper for decades now. You tell Americans that my home club's got one greenskeeper. We just, the one that's been there forever is not there. He's retired. And they just look at me like, is that even possible? And that's what you have to do in Australia, be resilient and find a way. Some of my fondest memories of playing golf up there, which feels a million years ago now.
Four tournaments for you in this year. What's your schedule going to look like in 2020? What are you hoping to get out of Stuart Appleby in the world of golf next year?
Well, I'm no spring chicken. definitely many times over. So I'm really, this year, I had a bit of a issue for quite a few years now on my lower back, being a bit out on the fritz. And, really haven't managed to find a way to get it, not my old, the old ways, but, you know, play it in holes, come back the next day, play it in holes, take a few weeks off, get back. Feel great going to the gym. I couldn't feel better in any aspect of that portion, but, you know, I love playing golf, but, you know, when you spend a lot of time over the ball wondering whether it's going to hurt, it sort of takes the edge off the sport and how much fun it is, like anybody who gets out of bed and just, you know, what's the day going to hold? That's the frustrating bit. But again, I've got to try and look at it. This is where I'm at. I've got a year and a half, say, before the Champions Tour, which is even hard to even say to think that's what's next on my schedule. Because I once said, my coach asked me, or someone asked me actually, said, will you ever play the Champions Tour? I must have been 30-something. And I was like, no way. That's not even going to happen, you know. So now I'm eating my words.
That's for old dudes.
Yeah.
Old dudes, exactly.
I remember saying that when I finished playing. I'll never play again. Rubbish, I'm still playing. Still playing. Can't get enough. Can't get enough, Stuart. Now, can't get enough of listening to you talk about the World of Golf Tour. We're very excited about the President's Cup. Tomorrow it kicks off at Royal Melbourne, the Internationals and the US. It's going to be great fun. I really appreciate your insight and your time.
Awesome. Thanks for taking your time to talk about this great week.